and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Sometimes we forget, but God not only blessed us with life and many abilities and gifts, but our senses are truly instrumental and helpful sometimes to have a small, even minute awareness of God's presence. And especially to realize that during Advent, we know that it's darker outside at night, and so the concept of lights, and especially Christmas lights and other decorations, somehow bring about a certain exuberancy, a certain kind of life that somehow helps us during those moments of darkness. And thus, it reminds us that we too need to see the mystery of God's salvation. I want to share with you an illustration, or at least one way for me to think about the second Sunday and this journey that we continue. So my parents, who are both, God love them, have passed away. But before they fully retired, one of their hobbies or activities that they took up at their years was putting puzzles together. And obviously, it takes teamwork and patience, but yet somehow you have to begin and sorting out the pieces and maybe sometimes putting them in certain color schemes, but also most of the time people would start with the frame, and most puzzles have kind of four corners. And that kind of helps me think about Advent, that we're now in the second week. God is inviting us to be aware of the second piece of the puzzle that helps us anticipate and prepare for Christmas. Last week, we know as we began the Advent journey, the first piece was the invitation to the virtue of hope. Hope in God, hope in God's care for us. And the second weekend, the second piece, at least for me, is that of the invitation and call to repentance. And it really comes from two angles that I think are worthy of reflection. The first one begins with that we hear in the first reading today from the prophet Baruch, who foresees the day when the Israelites will be brought back from exile. So this book is written about at least 500 years before Jesus' birth. But the Israelites are in Babylon. They're away from their home country. They're living in challenging situations. And so there is a sense of discouragement and darkness. And Baruch kind of is sent as one of the prophets to again remind the people to think big and to look for the future, huh? And so he reminds us and tells them about taking off their robes of mourning and misery and putting on the robe that reveals the splendor and the glory of God. And so he helps us, and especially the people at that time, to recall, as even the refrain of the psalm response, God's wondrous deeds, that then help us think about the future rather than just the past, and to know that God is one who is always faithful to his promises. And sometimes repentance and conversion might also invite us not only just to confess our sins, but it's also maybe the possibility of God saying we also need to maybe change our mindset or our perspective about things, about challenges, or difficulties in our lives. And thus this gift of God's grace can then work with us when we put on that new perspective or mindset. This leads us then into the gospel reading as we hear from Luke. And Luke, as he announces John the Baptist's arrival, he gives us also a geographical context to think about John the Baptist coming and helping us prepare for Christ. He names a lot of civil and even religious leaders that reminds us about the coming of the Messiah that really happens in a historical setting. And that sooner or later it connects to us, God's people. So John arrives, he proclaims a baptism of repentance, and then he reminds us, as Isaiah says, that he's identified as the voice calling out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. So it's again an invitation and a reminder about trying to make things better in our lives, including our relationships with God, with others and loved ones, and even people who sometimes challenge us. But repentance is about also letting go. I want to share with you a thought that also kind of integrates this for me. This past week, I found this little quote by the writer Peter Gamas, who says, "Advent also bids us to confront the tyranny of the past, to chuck it, get over it, and put it away and get on with the future." He says, "Christians possess the future because that is where God intends to meet us once again. And so we must always look ahead and not to the back or what has passed, but to look ahead with trust and not with fear." And he says, Christians ought to then continually cling to the slogan that the best days are still before us. And so that's really embracing hope, but yet this trust in God and his grace. And so he says, Christian hope is meant to guide us into this new place where we have not yet been, and also that it invites us to become the person that we have not yet become, which means God's transformation still is at work if we cooperate with God's grace and seek forgiveness. My hope is as we continue now these next last couple weeks of Advent, that we are mindful of the Lord wanting to work with us, to guide us, and most of all, help us even sometimes examine our own minds and hearts and seek forgiveness. A special plea is that this week our parish here at St. Pius will host a communal penance service on Wednesday night. It will be an invitation for not only other priests to be here, and so if you're afraid to go to confession to me or reconciliation, there's somebody else here, but to know that it's God's gift of offering us healing, forgiveness, and again, the renewal of God's hope that reminds us God not only wants to save us and redeem us, but share with us the gift of salvation in fullness, in flesh.